From the Kingdom of Nye, we continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Here's Art Bell.
Here I am, and we've got a whole bunch. There's a lot of interest, John. I'll tell you, we're generating a lot of interest. I've got a fistful of faxes here, and we'll try and get to those questions as we can. Reminding you, the East of the Rockies line is 1-800-825-5033. Now, John, before I've got a whole lot of faxes and questions here and phone calls. It's going nuts. Let's talk abductions for a moment. It seems to me that, indeed, a lot of people describe rooms, not necessarily ships, but rooms or even underground, that they know they're underground, and they've been abducted. Sometimes they've seen reptilian-like creatures. Sometimes they've even seen the U.S. military, and that opens up a whole nother can of worms.
All right. Well, this gets us into an area I was hoping that you would open up, and I thank you for doing that, which is that, as we were saying before, when it looks like these reptilians are underground, all we have to look at is, and I study many, many works of ancient religions, including the modern religions, but the one we can most identify with is the Christian religion for mm-hmm. the majority of people.
That's right.
And I will only say this, is that all you have to do is look at the reptilian in the Garden of Eden, and when he had interfered originally with the overall plans, God, Jehovah, or whatever, came down and said, you haven't behaved like I've told you, you know, you've interfered. Now get thee underground. I will cast thee underground, and man's heel shall be upon your forehead, and you shall be at man's heel. In other words, they were cast underground. There are many ancient religions that talk about these reptilians being underground. Only one of them is the Hopi religion, where they talk about their ancestors not being human, but being snakes or reptilians, and they call them the snake people. And like we're coming full circle now from like the beginning of the show, the ant people and the snake people. They believe, according to their legends, that at the end of each great cycle, when these devastations happen, they're taken underground to safety by the ant people. And this area that they lived in was the underworld. And they finally came up after the devastation through a hole in the ceiling of this great underground cave or this underworld called the Sipapuni. Nobody has ever known where the Sipapuni is. And they've always thought of it as legend and myth.
In that case, John, this question may answer itself. It's from Job in Seattle, Washington. Given their underground status as of now, how did they survive the catastrophe that wiped out all other higher reptile life forms millions of years ago? And that kind of answers itself, I guess.
Right. If there's something happening on the surface, the immediate response is to try and go underground, not only with our own government like they're doing now, but it's shown back in very medieval pictures, and it's even reported back in the times like the Velikovskian, you know, series of when they said that the great, you know, the stars fell from heaven and that there were great earthquake. There's many depictions of people running for caves. If there was a more highly evolved form of intelligence in the age of the dinosaur, then perhaps their immediate instinct was to run for cover as well. Mm-hmm. When you start going underground, there are natural aquifers of fresh water traveling and great rivers in some cases.
That's
when this happens,
true.
It releases highly charged positive ions into the air, as well as releases a high content of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can live down in these areas. There's radium that lines the walls of some of these caves, which gives off a constant light. And there's also many other minerals within the earth itself that you could actually grow from. When this underground mythological Indian place, the Sipapuni, was said to be somewhere in the Four Corners area, they suppose. There was an article written by the Arizona Gazette, the Phoenix Gazette, back in 1909, where it talks about a man by the name of Kincaid traveling down the Colorado River on a skiff, and he had come across an underground city that was built into the walls of the Grand Canyon, that was big enough for 50,000 people to live in.
Really?
And when I initially read this article, I started a four-year search to see if this could possibly be. What I've discovered is that in many outlying areas of where they would have carried that same article, even in the Yuma Examiner where this, you know, he apparently was, the microfilm is all there for every day except those 2 days that it was printed. So there's suspicion by omission.
You know, John, this is also interesting because there have been reports, rumors, myths, whatever you want to call it, some of them fairly substantial, that there's something going on in the Grand Canyon, that some area of it has been cordoned off to the public. Nobody's allowed to go near it. Nobody knows what it is. Have you heard those reports?
Well, they justify it by saying it's just dangerous. I can tell you that, I mean, honestly, after 4 years of research, I have finally located that exact same location where Kincaid had walked into the cave and found the Egyptian mummies, the metal that nobody could explain where it came from, the hieroglyphics that looked like they were from central Yucatan, but not, and the cat's eyes. And then, like I said, they said that there was enough room for 50,000 people to live in. But the question is this, is that if there were, in fact, 50,000 people in the Grand Canyon, there is no evidence on the surface of that area that 50,000 people ever walked that area.
Indeed.
So where in the world did they go? Now, I've recently been in touch with sightings regarding this, and we've talked about doing something on it and other people off on the West Coast, because when I finally released the full impact of my discovery of this location, it has such implications to it that it has to be done very gingerly, especially when I carry a lot of respect for the Hopi Indians. And this being their mythological place of the emergence from the underworld, it needs to be treated very delicately. And we're currently in negotiations with certain elements on the West Coast to try and get that out on the most widely spread way that we can.
Do you remember the old movie Journey to the Center of the Earth? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Yes. Who is to know? But could there be portals somewhere on the Earth? Do you believe there are?
Yes.
That would lead, if not to the center of the Earth, very, very deeply into the Earth.
Absolutely. I believe that the Earth is like a human body in a way, that it has veins and arteries. And those veins and arteries are natural and unnatural caverns and tunnel systems. And there probably are some areas of the Earth that are more, you know, highly concentrated with tunnel systems, such as the Four Corners Southwest area, Central America, and the Andes area of Chile and down south in South America. One of the greatest reptilians, you know, you've heard these winged reptilians we hear about.
Yes.
The Draco, and then the non-winged. Well, one of the greatest winged reptilian religious symbols there has ever been, or deities, is that of Quetzalcoatl. And he was a very benevolent being that lived down in the Yucatan area and Mexico. And you're going to love this. This has got to do with a lot of my research. I know you're just probably going to jump off your seat. But revelations, when they talk about revelations, it means to reveal what was once hidden.
Yes.
And during these times, these things will be revealed, as will the reptilian life forms. Quetzalcoatl was the being that lived between 600 and 900 A.D. down in Mexico and also the upper Yucatan. And like I said, he was very benevolent. He went into an area where the Aztecs were ripping hearts out of people, and he said, no, no, no. He said, you know, just put some herbs up on the altar, and he taught them science. He was the one that the Mayans and the Aztecs attribute to teaching them the Mayan calendar, and we know the scientific, you know, significance of that.
Oh, yes.
The astronomical calendar. But then also, there are many relations between him and what we know of as the Christ. As a matter of fact, some people, like the Mormons of today's religions, believe that Quetzalcoatl was Christ reincarnate because he was just so benevolent in a very violent area. Anyway, through my research, I've realized through studying ancient archaeology and architecture, like in The Art and Architecture of Ancient America by George Kubler, he says that the most ancient of all archaeological ruins that are circular in formation are the result of the presence of the cult of Quetzalcoatl. That being, Quetzalcoatl means the feathered serpent, the the being of the feathered serpent.
Do you connect all this, John, to the incredible sightings going on in Mexico? And I might add, ongoing in Mexico. Hundreds of thousands of people are seeing them.
Absolutely. I have plans on going down to the first International UFO Congress in Mexico City in August and having the opportunity to talk down there regarding this, because I truly do believe that Mexico City is going to be the primary point of contact, because if the Mexican people have already started to be conditioned to the more prominent presence there of these craft, and information outside the United States, if it's real close to us, we have an ability to control it, especially since the governments are so close now with all the monies being passed back and forth and deals being made. But also it's easier to control the information if at first the people don't react properly or as expected. And when they do have this initial contact, if they react unexpectedly, then they can stop the information flow right away, as has you've seen they've been doing all along.
Well, they have. You're right. It's interesting, though, from those I've talked to who have been to Mexico and have investigated, they have found the Mexican people are actually beginning to get, I'm not going to say nonchalant, but they're beginning to be accustomed to seeing these things almost all the time.
Absolutely.
So that process is ongoing.
Oh, yeah. And if they land there first, when finally they start reacting properly, or so that when we are finally able to see that they have been there and we don't see people running through the streets, then it'll help us react a little bit more calmly to the acceptance of their arrival. But also remember that Mexico City sits atop an ancient city of Mexico called Tenochtitlan. Tenochtitlan was the initial city created by the Aztecs. And, of course, the ancient god of the Aztecs was Quetzalcoatl. Now, when Quetzalcoatl was done, this winged serpent being was done with all his divine work down there, he said when he left, "I will return one day and I will redeem my people," which is exactly the same promise as you've heard other religious deities throughout all Earth.
Of course.
Right?
Yes.
So,
I believe all religions must, as a basic tenet, have a past history and a future promise.
Right. Absolutely. For us to have hope.
Okay. John, I'm telling you, I've got so many faxes here, I could never get to them all. Here is one that says, "Reptilian experience by a 10-year-old. The following abduction experience by my 10-year-old son had grays showing my son reptilians." Now, there's much too much. This is from Maui, Hawaii, and there's much too much for me to go into here. But with all of this contact and all of this interest, John, I'm going to ask that you again please give out the telephone number and address, would you?
Absolutely. I welcome anybody to send material to me and or just send that $10, and I'll money order a check, and I'll send them a package of material. And the address is John Rhodes, that's R-H-O-D-E-S, Post Office Box 50381, Henderson, Nevada, 89016-0381. And in case you didn't get the address, you can call the voicemail system. It has the address on it again for you, which is 702-391-3335. And just to let everybody know, I'm not one of these researchers out there that's untouchable or that you can't talk to. I more than welcome people to get me information or to share their experiences with me if they feel that there's something that they can contribute to expanding my idea of what's going on. And time allowing, I'll try and get back in touch with you.
All right.
And then, of course, we have the tape that's $10, and then just add $2 in shipping and handling in there if you want to start finding out for yourself and you'd rather keep that experience a little more quiet.
All right.
That self-hypnosis tape.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with John Rhodes. Hi.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi.
Recently, all about a year or so ago, in Northern California, extremely Northern California.
Where are you, sir?
I am calling from the Ozarks.
Okay.
But in extreme northern California, actually Fort Smith area, there was a lot of land, off-road land, rugged terrain, that was made off-limits to the public. And for one reason or another, I think one government agency made it off-limits to protect another one for whatever they were doing. And the reason for this is what appeared to be forest rangers were heavily armed with shoulder-strap machine guns. Now, it made no sense at all, and I know they weren't looking for marijuana.
Well, that's not the reason to cordon it off. That is the amount of security to accomplish it. What do you think they were cordoning off?
I have no idea, but I know that they were not protect. They were keeping it close under taps. Well, I mean, why in the world would they have shoulder-strap machine guns in the first place? And this, like I said, an extreme Northern California up near the Oregon border.
All right. Well, I've got a fax here also, John, about Mount Shasta. There are a lot of stories about Mount Shasta.
Yes.
And are you familiar with the term Lemurians?
Yes, I am.
Is this a group who supposedly lives in or under Mount Shasta?
Well, from what I've been able to discover through my research and through the research of other people like Cherry Hinkle and Tao and like the other names I mentioned before, that appears that Mount Shasta is a shared facility, like a neutral base, like almost a Switzerland for many different races and beings. And that's why there's such a variety of different reports coming out of there of various different looking beings. As far as Lemuria and Mu and Atlantis, I do believe that, yes, I do believe that there were past continents and other words, past civilizations that were destroyed through their own cataclysms, and some of them did escape through the tunnel system.
Tunnels.
These tunnel systems crisscrossed the world, not just here.
All right, fascinating. Hold on, John. Remember to get a copy of this program, which I can understand you might want. Call 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278.